RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping adventure is one for the record books.
And by Highway West Vacations. Highway West invites you to connect with family, friends, and nature as you experience the beauty and adventure found in the great American West. Visit HighwayWestVacations.com to start planning your next great trip today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are diving into the 2017 North American Camping Report and talking about the latest trends in camping and RVing in the United States and Canada.
This annual independent study is supported by Campgrounds of America, so we invited Toby O'Rourke, the Chief Franchise Operations Officer at KOA, onto the show to talk about some of the findings.
You might think that it's the same crew at the campground year in and year out, but we know that the North American campers have some surprises up their sleeves. You are listening to episode number 137, Meet the 2017 North American Camper.
Before we head into this week's RVFTA News Roundup, it is time for a sponsored message from our friends at the Thetford Corporation.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And we've got sewer news.
We've got big sewer news. And you know what? It was like romantic. We spent some time together.
By the sewer hose. Yeah, by dumping out our RV.
Well, not by the sewer hose.
Right. So this was our first time using the Sanicon Turbo, which Thetford manufactures, and we got as an option in our new Jayco Octane. So the Sanicon Turbo, it is a manufacturer-installed plumbing evacuation system, which is fancy speak for it's a way that your entire sewer line is basically inside the camper.
Yeah, which I think was really your favorite thing about it. Because,
yep.
I mean, like after we used it, we debriefed. Okay. After we macerated together,
We had friends that like came over to watch. It was like a communal event back there.
After we macerated the number two, we kind of debriefed each other. And Stephanie loved the fact that we don't need to store sewer hoses anymore.
Yeah.
Which is almost like counterintuitive to me. Like I still want my sewer hose in there, but I don't have to have it because this whole system stores into a little storage area in the RV.
Yeah, what there basically is a little closet, and you open up the compartment and you pull out this very, very, I think, compact.
It almost looks
hose.
Like a shower head. Don't make that mistake.
Gross. Okay, but it's 21 feet long, so you can really stretch this a good distance. It's not like it's going to be, you know, tricky to make it reach. And you just put the head of that right onto your sewer dump out spot on your campground. What do you call that? Your sewer dump out spot.
Let's call it the sewer.
Yeah.
And you just give it a twist. It has all the different, you know, fittings, so it'll go get tight real quick.
Yeah.
And then you just open up the tanks and chop the stuff up.
Now, this, I guess, has been very common marine macerating toilet technology.
And it's in a lot of like Class A motorhomes. It's almost sort of like a feature for an expensive motorhome.
Right. So now it's trickling down, okay, to the travel trailer. And I have to say, when I suddenly realized after using this that we didn't have to have that sewer attachment hanging out of our camper at all times with the little holder thing that you have and everything.
Well, and also the Octane doesn't have a bumper to put the sewer hose in. So it actually has to go into our storage bin. So it saves a lot of space.
So we're going to do this was our first time. So we were like figuring it out.
We didn't want to like video.
Nobody was like video anything,
it worked perfectly.
It did.
And it was simple.
I don't know. We were talking about it through the whole thing and we were like, I like this. By the end of it, I was like, this is cool in a lot of different
ways. And it's
ways.
A Jayco exclusive right now, right?
Right.
It's an option, and it's a pretty affordable option at that.
Yeah. So we'll do a little social on this. We'll give you some pictures. Not too graphic.
I'm going to take a photo of Stephanie using the
I was
Turbo.
Involved, right? Because I said I want to know this octane. I don't want to just not learn how to use this
and
octane.
And what's nice is that once it's done, the noise that it's making changes in a pretty obvious and apparent way. So there was really nothing complicated at all about using this.
We kept getting nervous that the noise was changed. We were like, turn it off. It's done. But we'll get settled. You know how when you're using a new thing, you're always like, wait, is that it? But we'll figure it out. All right. So to find out more about the SantaCon Turbo, you can go to Thetford.com. All right.
Okay, we have a couple save the dates. All right. The Cabela's Camping Classic is April 29th and April 30th. And no matter which Cabela's you live near, you want to head out for that for a really fun weekend and celebrating camping in the new camping season.
And lots of camping discounts.
And yeah, great discounts, which Cabela's is so good at. We're going to be at the Hamburg store on April 29th.
And then there's also Ladies Day Out at Cabela's stores across the country. That's May 6th and 7th. If you want to listen to what Ladies Day Out is all about, go and listen to episode 109, where Kate Dunbar was on talking about the camp cooking.
The one Kate went to was like a hootenanny.
Yeah, well, they boondocked in the parking lot of the Cabela's store.
She had her
store.
Airstream there, right?
Yeah, and they had generators hooked up, and they had a blast. So really, definitely, they were also all the outdoors groups in the area were there, so she really learned a lot about her opportunities.
So check your local Cabela's to see what's going on at your local Cabela's, because it could be it'll vary from store to store based on what's in the community.
But there's an educational push, right? So there's both the discounts and the deals and the education, which is a very nice combination.
And
plan
on spending the day there. Don't go and be like, going for 2 hours.
And last spring dates are the Family Adventure Days, June 10th and June 11th at Cabela's stores across the country. For that, again, we're going to be at the Hamburg store in PA on June 10th, and we'll have all the details of that event as
and
we get
closer. And we want to say hello. So, yes. We have a lot of podcast listeners in the great camping state of Pennsylvania. We would really love to meet you guys. Come out and we'll show you some of the great Cabela's gear that we're using this year.
Well, last week we were happy in our news roundup to tell everybody that we did our first Facebook Live over on Jayco's website, Facebook page, which I thought went great. We had a really fun time.
I thought we were good. I hope everybody else thought so. Jayco left it up on their Facebook page.
Yeah, they didn't pull it down, but a lot of you came over and participated in the fun, so we really appreciate that. But this weekend, we're going to be taking over Jayco's Instagram page.
I am kind of giddy, like a little schoolboy about
Yay,
this. I'm really excited to take over their Instagram page. It's like, we want to get some great photos this weekend.
So we have an exciting trip to a national historic site.
Yeah, we're going to be staying.
Stay tuned.
Yep. It's a secret.
So they should go on over and like Jayco on Instagram because then our takeover pictures will appear in your feed.
Otherwise, you're going to be like, where's RVFTA this weekend
and
on Instagram? It's crickets over on their Instagram account. It's because we're going to be rocking and rolling on Jayco's Instagram account.
Fun. And we're going to be sharing a really fun trip that we are very excited about taking. All right. So that's all the news. A lot of activity coming up. And I'll say that there's something that's not in our news roundup that's happening in about a week and a half that's super duper exciting. So I'll give people another teaser.
Oh my gosh, this month is busy for
us. We're not going to tell you any other information besides the fact that there is a very fun, exciting thing that we're doing 2 weekends from now.
Crazy fun. Crazy fun.
So excited. A lot of work.
A whole bunch of stuff that just came in the mail.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Now listen, we are going to be covering the North American Camping Report for the third year in a row on this episode. Our listeners always love it when we do this, so we're doing it again. As long as KOA puts out the report, we're going to do it. So we're going to do it in two segments. Stephanie and I are going to go over the key findings from the report, chat about them a little bit. Then we're going to come back in a second segment and talk to Toby O'Rourke from KOA. We have a great interview with her, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our featured topic, Meet the 2017 North American Camper. And I love doing this episode each year, don't you, Stephanie?
It's fun.
It's a fun episode, and it kind of appeals to our dorky research side.
Being back in college, looking at the report.
We know that some of our listeners are a little nerdy, too.
Talking about the key findings.
Before we dive into the key findings, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Highway West Vacations.
Highway West Vacations offers luxury accommodations throughout the western United States. Stay in your own RV or tent or rent a vintage trailer, Airstream cabin, or cottage, each resort offers unique spaces and stylish accommodations located in dreamy destinations in Utah, California, Washington, and Oregon. Come explore the great outdoors and experience a new way of vacationing as you travel the Highway West. Visit highwaywestvacations.com to start planning today.
I want to rent a vintage trailer.
Well, you know what? Let's just say I was just having a conversation with somebody this week, and they were talking about flying out to Utah because it's just too long of a drive for them. And they have Highway West Vacations has five different locations in Utah, I think.
Very key locations.
Places like and that. I was saying to them, you need to stay there. And, you know, I was saying this one or that one, and you need to stay in the Airstream Village. And you need to, like, I mean, that's a perfect thing because you can fly and still experience the campground.
I wouldn't mind retiring in an Airstream Village.
Yeah, maybe we'll ask Highway West Vacations. Can we just retire on site?
Okay, listen, let's dive into the key findings of the 2017 North American Camping Report. And there are definitely some surprises here in the report, and then also just some things that we heard in the last two camping reports are just being reiterated and reemphasized this year.
Yeah, okay, so let's just start out. Number one, all right, the overall incidence of camping in North America is up, demonstrating an upward trend in the number of North Americans who are camping. Every year, more people are camping.
Business is booming. I mean, to me, I feel like a lot of this goes back to the recession, and a lot of Americans just decided to try this new way of traveling and, you know, cheaper vacations, more family friendly. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think there's more to it than that.
Well, I wasn't saying that was the only
thing. Yeah, I really think that the more plugged in we are, the more inside we are in our daily lives, the more people crave outdoors. And I think that camping has become, through Instagram, through social media, right? There's more images of that available to us.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And I think that being on Instagram and getting sucked into those images, it makes people go, I want that in my life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like on Instagram, like, hey, check out my hotel room. It's just not as exciting unless you're staying some crazy, ridiculous
right.
place.
But
as
who
like,
can afford
hey,
that?
Stay at this amazing, check out my amazing site at the campground, right?
Yeah. So here's the really big number. Ready? Well over 1 million households have started camping each year since 2014, resulting in 3.4 million U.S. households becoming new campers over the last 3 years.
And look, even in like our Facebook group, the number of people that are new to RVing and are just starting and going to their first campground this spring is really, really disproportionately high. So a lot of energy from the newbies out there, and we just love it.
Yeah. So number two. Now, this is so interesting, and we'll talk about why. Number two, a growing number of campers say they want to camp more often. Look, you're not telling us anything we didn't know. What do we say constantly on this show? The number one thing we hear from our listeners is, I want to camp more.
In fact, many of our listeners blame us for their additional vacations and those additional weekend trips because they say RVFTA sort of motivates them to get out more. And of course, we're not the only ones doing that.
The most popular podcast episodes ever, I think. I haven't looked, you know, really recently, but for a while there, The Weekend Warrior, part one and part two were our most popular podcast episodes. And I really felt because it tapped into us directly saying to people, we want to help you camp more. The only way you're going to camp more is by taking those weekend trips. So we want to help you do that.
A lot of families get their 1 week vacation in the summer. But when you buy an RV for the first time, you start to realize, wait a second, I can do weekends too. Like I can do lots of weekends away and they're affordable, where I don't think that many families are going to go away for the weekend to a hotel. I just don't think that's going to happen.
All right. So whether or not you're sick of hearing about millennials, we're going to talk about them again.
I'm not sick about hearing them.
We love them.
Here's what, and this part, I'm getting part of this from the interview you're going to hear with Toby O'Rourke next. Millennials are going to make campgrounds better. They're going to make campgrounds nicer. They're particular about what they want.
More experiential.
And I think that we're all going to benefit from what millennials want out of campgrounds. That's my current theory.
All right. So number three, and this is the millennial one, millennials continue to drive growth of camping. So not only are millennials taking to the outdoors, they're doing so in greater numbers than what would be expected. In the overall population, millennials comprise 31% of the adult population, yet account for 38% percent of campers. So that more millennials in that group are camping than in any other.
Stephanie,
group.
Are you jealous that millennials get more attention than Gen X?
I don't need that kind of attention. I'm
you
okay
like that
with
we
that.
Fly under the radar a little bit?
Yeah, I am. I just don't like it when I feel like the Gen X crew really does have valid needs and concerns traveling with young children and, you know, teens and tweens, and they're not getting the attention that they need in activities and amenities. You know, that's the only time that it really, I'm just like, hey guys, there's a Gen X crew here and we've got some money, right? Because we're usually two professional house, you know, like two right. working households.
Oh, and just those years of your lives where you make the most money.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, we have discretionary income to spend, and I'd like you to think about how you're helping me spend it in the right way.
I gotta say, like, I'm a little jealous of millennials in the sense that they've got this like digital nomad thing going on, and like they're in their 20s and they're just deciding they're going to go live in an RV and work on the road. Like, we didn't think of that in our 20s. I mean, it's not that we didn't think about it. It wasn't possible.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. If you're talking about jealous in that way, I think that if I look back and I think that if we had been in the same landscape as millennials find themselves in now entering in the marketplace, I think our lives would look tremendously different.
But maybe we wouldn't have had those little bouncing baby boys.
Maybe not, because life would have been good.
Maybe life on the road would have been so awesome.
It's true. Yeah. I don't, you know what? I don't
regret.
No, I don't regret anything.
But I say good for them, though. I say good for them. If they're able to go make money and be on the road and travel, go for it.
I'm going to take that back because I hate it when people say no regrets and it's not true. I realize that I was joking about that. I actually have a very big regret that in our 20s, because we didn't have kids until into our 30s. So I regret that in our 20s, we did not do more.
Well,
with
traveling
our
to
time.
National parks,
yes.
And getting out west,
yes.
And things like that. I think that's a regret for me too. I think part of it was that we were broke, and another part of it was mm-hmm. that we both went to graduate school. And I think another part of it was that we were not in the camping culture at that point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we were broke, but we could have camped.
Well, I mean, our parents did not really introduce us to that world.
Yeah.
We'll blame them and move on.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. All right. So the next one, number 4, there has been a large influx of campers of Asian descent over the past couple of years, contributing to the expanding diversity amongst campers. Now, we've talked about Hispanics and we've talked about African Americans increasing the diversity on campgrounds. This is a new finding.
Yeah, and a lot of it is they're young Asians who are just like really love getting out to the campground. And Stephanie and I love to see diversity at the campground. We think campgrounds should look like America.
43% of the group that they surveyed of Asians said that they started camping in the past few years. 43%. That's really big growth. And then it's worth noting that older Asian campers are also likely to be relatively new to camping, with 25% having started camping really
so
recently.
The story of increasing diversity in the camping industry continues to unfold before our eyes, really. I mean, the story's not over yet.
All right. So let's just talk about one thing. The Asian millennial campers report spending just over half of their camping nights at state or national parks, while the Asian baby boomers say they spent almost two-thirds of their nights at these parks.
That really surprised me.
Yes.
I would have guessed the other way around.
Exactly.
I really would have guessed the other way
around. Yeah. Apparently, they do not need full hookups to be happy.
Or they don't care as much about Wi-Fi.
Amenities, Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Maybe they're really trying to unplug. That's an interesting thing that maybe we'll get more information about, you know, in next year's North American Camping Report. All right. Number 5. Camping appears to have a strong foothold among, ready for this, Generation Z teens. We're on to Generation Z now. Teens are overwhelmingly likely to assign importance to people their age getting outdoors and are highly enthusiastic about camping in general.
This was a great finding in the report. We're going to talk to Toby about this a bunch, but one thing Stephanie and I wanted to add is that we always are commenting that we feel like campgrounds could do more for recreation that is particularly suited for teenagers, and we will have teenagers at some point, you know, in 10 years or whatever it is. It seems like there's a lot of great recreation for really young kids, but we're excited that by the time our kids are teenagers, there may be more recreation particularly suited for them in terms of zip lining and the biking, like the Normandy mm-hmm. Farms. They had that
yep.
off-road bicycle course, which was amazing.
Normandy Farms in Massachusetts, just outside of Boston, Massachusetts, was such an example of a campground that did not feel like it was overrun by teenagers. Like, I was happy there as an adult.
Because they were all off busy doing things.
And yet, it was basically running like a teenage summer camp there. There were activities for the tween and, you know, the preteen and teen population all day long, as well as activities for the adults like pottery and painting and fitness classes. That was such an example of doing.
Yeah, I mean, look, if a campground's just going to have a playground, a pool, and a bounce pillow, you know, that might not be enough to entertain a 15-year-old. But if you've got zip lining, not to put pressure on you, campground owners, that could be really appealing for the family with teens.
Yeah, I want to, I want to bring up something else that's in this point. I'm going to read from this. Even though many adults may have the view that teens are glued to their phones and cannot pull away from technology, teens are in fact no more likely to use technology than adult campers. I am so glad that that's written in the report, because I don't like to do a lot of finger pointing on this show. You know, you all know we stay away from that. But this is something that really gets in my, what do you say, craw.
Your craw. Stephanie's craw.
It sticks in my craw. I hate it when people are constantly saying that the young kids are glued to their phones, because every time I look around, I see the adults glued to their phones.
Like all the kids playing at the playground and the adults are glued to their phones.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were at the pool the other day.
And do as I say, not as I do.
The kids were in the pool playing, and what were the adults doing? Sitting in the chairs around the pool on their phones. And I'm not criticizing the people that
Let's
are sitting
just be
around
fair
on
and
their
honest
phone.
About it.
But why are we constantly saying that about kids? I don't see that. And I'm watching all
the
time.
Well, I'll tell you. It's like it's do as I say, not as mm-hmm. I do. And it's like, I got to be honest. I mean, Grandma got the boys iPods this year. And when I see them on the iPods, I almost get like annoyed.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want them.
And they're hardly spending any time on it.
They're not spending a lot of time on them. But when they pull them out, I'm like, go outside and play baseball. but I need to take that advice for myself just as much as they need to take that advice from me.
Yeah, because we have to model that as parents. And, you know, there's another thing that people really – I'm finger pointing in this one just a little bit on my soapbox. People constantly talk to us about how our children will not want to go to the campground with us when they are teenagers. That is like something that is accepted philosophy. Like it's like, oh, well, what are you going to do when the kids don't want? Now, I grant that our children may change their opinions through the years, up and down, about camping, and that's okay. They're individuals. But at the same time, I do not believe that it is a given that as teenagers, they will not enjoy outdoor activities. Well, I refuse to accept that.
One of our friends was recently saying that their teenagers are incredibly pumped to go camping this summer. And that was very encouraging to me, because I do worry that the boys will hit 14, 15 and say, Mom, Dad, we don't want to go. We've got something better to do at home. And I'll be honest, that will break my heart, I think.
And again, we do things that are for them, and they will continue to do things that are for us because they don't run the show. So yes, it will be a different kind of balance at every stage of our life, but it will still be a balance. I'm not going to stop doing something
Tie
that
them
I
up,
enjoy.
Throw them in the back of the pickup and take them to Yosemite.
And Larissa Richardson, Papa Princess, is a fantastic example of that philosophy. She doesn't take her kids in that pop-up all year long, all the time, but a couple of times a year she says to her three teenagers, I don't care what you think. Get in the car. We're going camping.
And I think you're right. I think that's a real good attitude to have, because those kids will look back fondly on that trip to the National Park.
Oh, she says they already do. She says they're always, and then they can't wait to go back to Oregon where they had that amazing trip, you know, as a family a couple years ago. So it matters what we do. And yes, sometimes we have to fight with our kids. But look, this report is saying that kids are thrilled to go camping. Teens are thrilled to go camping. All right. So that's why we love this North American camping
report.
You
can step down off your soapbox.
All right. I'm getting down, everybody. I'm sorry.
She took the microphone right up there with her.
I did. I don't do that all the time, but every once in a while I get all riled up. All right. Next, camping is an activity that elicits excitement and pleasure even before the trip takes place.
Oh my gosh, does it? It's so much fun planning a camping trip. And we know our podcast listeners are the same way. Like, you get your recommendations, you do your research, you pull out your Good Sam catalog, you pull out your KOA catalog, you pull out your Jellystone catalog. You know, you pick out all those campgrounds you want to go to, and then you research the area and the activities, and you talk about the trip. I mean, you can get months of pleasure out of planning a trip leading up to a trip.
And we see this in our own group so much. Like, everybody posts their little countdown charts. They have them at the house, or they'll be like, I'm so excited, I'm cleaning out the camper, right? Whoever says,
I'm so excited I'm getting the suitcases down from the attic. Like, nobody says that.
It's human nature to want something to look forward to, right? And planning a trip and planning it early then gives you months to look forward to the trip.
Okay, this is very interesting. It said almost 2/3 of campers find trip planning to be at least somewhat pleasant, which is well above other types of planning for purchases. Only 1/4 of campers find the planning for purchasing a new vehicle relatively unpleasant.
I would be in the group that finds it pleasant.
Right. All right. So it says these extended benefits could be contributing to the increased levels of camping and reinforce the emotional ties campers have to camping by a pre-trip cues that elicit a favorable response of excitement to an upcoming trip. I think that plays out so much in our experience, you know, interacting with our listeners and everything.
You know me, I'm giddy about planning trips.
I
like planning trips so much, I'm known to like plan one and then cancel it and just start over and plan another one.
You would do that too. I think it's more about the plan.
I plan like phantom trips just for fun.
Number 7, the overriding factor regarding technology is that for U.S. campers, access to technology is allowing a substantial block of campers to spend more time outside. Wait, clarify
it's
for people,
so
Jeremy.
So ironic, yeah? Right? If you have Kraken Wi-Fi, that allows most people to spend more time at the campground. And it doesn't seem to make sense, but it actually makes perfect sense. Because a lot of people need to be able to check in at work, or they need to be able to pay their mortgage. And if they can do those things at the campground, they will actually extend their vacations by like 2 days maybe, if it's a week-long vacation.
Almost 2 additional vacation days.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So look, everyone's like, oh, you should go camping to disconnect and Wi-Fi is bad. But apparently people that camp want good Wi-Fi because it allows them to get outside more.
Yeah. So access to technology is freeing up more time among younger campers who in all likelihood are able to check work emails and check in with work via phone when needed.
Or otherwise there's stress and pressure and maybe your boss needs you and can't get a hold of you and it creates a problem. I mean, that's the world we live in now, right?
Right. So we don't take our standard 2-week vacation anymore, right?
And it allows us to extend our travels a lot. I mean, if we could not be connected, we would not be on the road nearly as much.
Exactly. So I think that's a counterintuitive but really an important thing. And let's be straight. There's no evidence out there that using a device, using Wi-Fi while you're outside counteracts like the benefits of being outside. Like, yes, if you're just sitting outside and you're constantly connected, you're not going to get a lot of those therapeutic, you know, advantages of activity and exercise.
But this is
and
more
everything.
About checking in.
Yes.
This is more about after the end of a really exciting day, like, okay, let me go online for 20 minutes and make sure I've got all my bills paid and my boss doesn't need me or my business is still functioning.
Oh, this transforms our ability on the road because we know that we can, while even though we have all of our podcasts maybe produced before we go on that trip, we know that anybody that reaches out, we can connect with within a half hour, 40 minutes out of the day. And that transforms that experience for us. So, and I'm sure it does for many other people. Now, our last point that we're going to talk about, our last key finding, this one we love to see because we've been talking about it between us and wondering about it. So it said the National Park Service's 100th anniversary appears to have driven more people to visit the parks in 2016.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear that. And one of my spring camping resolutions was to continue celebrating the national parks and make sure it's just a really still a vibrant part of our summer travels and our camping experience. And I'm worried that because all those marketing dollars are not there and that the NPS 100 is over, that it could fade out of the public view a little bit. So I'm hoping that all of us continue to celebrate our national parks.
We'll see. It said overall 3 in 10 U.S. campers say the centennial celebration got them to visit a park that they would not have otherwise visited. Millennials are the most likely to claim they visited a national park because of the anniversary. And the anniversary also impacted about 1/3 of Hispanic and African American campers. So it really had a big impact.
Well, it was a great year. It was they did a great job celebrating the national park.
Yeah, and hopefully people had a positive experience because we always talk about how it takes people some time to figure out how to visit a national park. So hopefully it was a positive experience. And then they're like, oh, I want to visit more national parks.
Well, I want it to become part of the texture of my life and part of the texture of my travels in general.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those were some of the key findings from the 2017 North American Camping Report. We're going to come back in a second and interview Toby O'Rourke. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. The Ultralight Hummingbird is the newest addition to the Jayco lineup of travel trailers. Weighing in at about 3,000 pounds and packed with features and modern conveniences, it's the definition of towable fun. Get up and go and leave your worries behind with the Hummingbird, which comes with the industry's best 2-year limited warranty. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. We'll be back in a second with Toby O'Rourke from KOA. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Toby O'Rourke, the Chief Franchise Operations Officer for KOA, and we're going to be talking about the 2017 North American Camping Report. We're going to really pick her brain about some specific details here. Welcome to the show, Toby.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back. We appreciate it. I think the last time we talked to you was all the way back on episode.
I went back and looked.
Did
it was episode 49.
Yeah. We need to talk more often.
It was 2 years ago, for goodness sake. And we're still alive and kicking. So now it's your second time on the show. That means that you're a friend of the show now.
You it's have official.
Official status.
Oh. Okay, good.
So enjoy all the rights and privileges that come
with
that.
Yeah, right. Well, we can talk about those later. So now we really enjoyed, once again, this is our third show on the 2017 North American Camping Report, which our audience loves. We say we have a little bit of a nerdy audience, so they love reports. They love a little bit of data.
Which
we
has
can throw
kind
it
of shocked
way.
Us.
It's a little I bit like of, data too. So.
It's like a nerd fest out there for our audience. So one of the first big takeaways that Stephanie and I saw was that not only are more people camping, but people that camp are camping more often. And it seems like you guys are rocking all summer long, and a lot of the campgrounds are near capacity. But we're wondering, like, what are you doing this time of year to get people camping more or to motivate people to camp more?
That was my favorite insight out of the whole report as well, is that we see more people taking more trips per year. I think it was 36% growth, actually, on staying three times a year, and which is very exciting to us as a campground company. We're definitely doing a lot right now to encourage people to book early. So we actually turn most of our national media on in the beginning of February. We've been doing that for a couple of years. This year we added even more weight behind that, and I think it's paying off. We're seeing large numbers in our advanced reservations because people do know they need to book early. You know, summer fills up fast. But that being said, we always try to extend the shoulder seasons. You know, this time of year in the spring, we're promoting things like shakedown cruises, getting their RVs out and making sure everything's working. We have a big promotion weekend coming up in early May that we put some marketing behind, Care Camp's Big Weekend. So it's a stay one night, the other night's for $10, and that goes to a charity to support kids with cancer going to camp. And then the fall, I think everybody believes fall is one of the best times to camp. And so our campgrounds do a lot of things to encourage people to camp in the fall. So everything from Halloween weekends, some campgrounds have 5 or 6 Halloween weekends, to leaf peeping events. We also have a appreciation weekend in September for our value card members. So as much as we can get people to camp early, camp longer in the year, the better, because we do know that the summer fills up, but we're always trying to push people into midweek as well.
Now, the Halloween weekends seem huge. I mean, to the KOAs that we've gone to and to campgrounds everywhere, really. It might sound crazy to say, but I think people probably need to book for those weekends now because they seem to sell out.
I just left a meeting with some of our owners the other day, and they say that they sell out their Halloween weekends before they sell out 4th of July.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And we've seen that.
It's the biggest thing going on.
And that's been incredible growth just over the 7 years that we've been RVing. You barely saw that 7 years ago, or we even knew about it as newbies. Now everybody does it. So it's really a trend. And I'm sure it's going to continue because we love doing Halloween at the campground, as do a lot of other families.
It's a perfect place for trick-or-treating.
Well, it's a good safe environment, right? So, you know, kids can go all around the campground and trick or treat. You know, a lot of people have costume contests and parades, and people like to decorate their sites. So it's just a great environment to really celebrate the holiday.
Now, speaking of those shoulder seasons a little more, you know, campgrounds in the Northeast, across the northern part of the United States and into Canada, traditionally they have had shorter seasons than, you know, the campgrounds in the South just because of weather. Now, are a lot of those campgrounds, we think we've seen an increase in a lot of those campgrounds extending their season. Does KOA notice that among their franchisees? And, you know, what are you kind of doing to promote that amongst your campgrounds?
Yeah, it's definitely largely driven by the weather. Every campground makes their own decision. If they're seeing, but most, you know, these are business operators. So if they're seeing a demand, then they're going to try to fulfill the supply as long as, you know, they're not in snow in October like we are in Montana frequently. But yeah, I do think campgrounds are staying open. They're also paying attention to travel patterns of when they can accommodate those traveling campers going south. And I think people are going south even earlier and coming home even later. So I do think you'll see extended time periods of when they're open to meet demand and to meet travel patterns.
I wonder, though, they must need a break, too. I mean, campground owners like work nonstop in the season.
Right. It is so. It's such a strenuous lifestyle, and it's so funny. We have a lot of new owners that come in to KOA University, and they say, you know, I'm retiring, and I bought a campground, and everyone always laughs. And they don't get it. And then a year in, they're like, oh, my gosh, this is so much work. And so those campgrounds, you know, up north in particular, in the busy season, day in and day out, and then when summer or winter comes, a lot of them go south to vacation to take a little break. I feel bad for the ones that are open year-round. They're definitely working really, really hard year-round.
Oh, my gosh. Now, we were surprised to see that the Midwest and the Northeast are leading the way in growth. Do you have any insights as to why that might be the case? That was a little bit of a shocker for me.
Well, I think, they have the most growth, but I think it's worth pointing out that, you know, the other regions of the country are really, really strong, like the West and Canada in particular, you know, super high numbers of campers. So the Midwest and the Northeast, I think, had the most to grow.
They had more room for growth because there may not have been more of that standardized camping lifestyle in our culture, which we always joke about.
So if campgrounds are at capacity out West, then as the industry
grows. I don't think it's necessarily capacity. Our campgrounds are growing in all those regions, but that's driven by campers. So the report showed where campers are going and which regions they're camping in. And in the western states in particular, camping is just such an inherent part of culture that it's very high. And Canada always is off the charts with campers and people outdoors. So I think there's more room for growth in those other regions, but everybody's starting to catch up to each other. I think there's just a big resurgence of interest in the outdoors. More families are camping. People are seeing it's a great way to bring groups together, multi-generations together, friends, you know, millennials always camp in groups. And it's a great way to escape stress. And we know that we have a very busy, hectic lifestyle. And camping's a nice way to take a break from that and get outside.
Let's talk about those multi-generational trips and the millennial trips. So what we're seeing, obviously, the millennials are just a huge force in camping. Everyone that's paying attention knows that. It almost seems like campgrounds are just incredibly well-suited for them and the way they love to travel. What we're wondering is how those millennials are actually going to change a KOA campground over the next 10, 20, 30 years in terms of the design, in terms of the sites. Are you actually seeing physical changes to your campgrounds because of the millennials?
Yeah, this report, I think, has helped us understand more about what millennials are looking for. And things we see are like the group camping, like I just mentioned. Millennials are camping in groups of 10. They're looking for on-site recreation. Accommodations are of interest to them, which, you know, brings in cabins. We put a lot of emphasis on quality of sites. We know that site quality and campground atmosphere is the number one things that millennials look for. So it has changed our perspective, and I think the whole industry is paying attention to what the millennials are interested in, because this is no longer just an activity for the baby boomer generation in RVs. So we have to pay attention to how the younger generations are responding to camping and being able to deliver upon that. You know, one such thing is Wi-Fi access, for example. We know that millennials, Gen Z, even younger than them, are interested in using technology while they camp. They see it as a way to advance or enhance their experience, if you will. And we know we have to have Wi-Fi access on campgrounds. The older generations, not so much, although it's still pretty high across the board. So there's a lot of changes that are being influenced by what younger generations want, and campgrounds have to respond or they're not going to capture that market share.
Now, let's stay on the multi-generation camping for a little while. You know, a few years ago when we would look to camp with people that didn't have RVs, we had difficulty finding campgrounds where the RV sites weren't completely separate from the cabins. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen, you all are making a little bit of a push to change some of the design aspects so people with RVs, people with tents, people with cabins have opportunities to camp in close proximity to each other. Is that something that you're focusing on?
Yes, it is. We're actually absolutely pushing that. Some campgrounds are experimenting with that now. They've got tent sites right onto RV sites, for example. So when you purchase that site, you're getting a combo. We've got RV sites next to cabins. We've got all three positioned close to each other because we know people are camping in groups. As I said, people are camping multi-generation, and everybody camps differently. And we actually asked that in the research, would you be interested in campgrounds that could accommodate different site types camping together? And that was very, very high, particularly among the millennial generations. So we have a lot of campgrounds starting to do more of that, and we're absolutely pushing that.
All right, great. Let's talk about diversity at the campground. When we first covered the North American Camping Report 3 years ago, I think the thing that was really most exciting was to see that camping is becoming more diverse and it's starting to look, you know, more like America. So what are you guys doing to capture Hispanics, African Americans, this increasing diversity of people who want to come out and camp?
There's a few things we're doing, one of which is working with online influencers. We find that's a great way to get into different niche markets. So, for example, last week we had a couple people down presenting at Hispanicize, which is the country's largest conference for Hispanic media and influencers. And we've had some great partnerships that have developed from that activity, and we have a specific Hispanic PR agency that we work with. And we've developed some really good partnerships and relationships that's allowed us to reach into those demographics. And similarly, we've worked with some African-American influencers as well. I think that's a great way to start the dialogue and the conversation. And we like to host people at our campgrounds and allow them to talk about their experiences to their following. And hopefully that leads to more interest by those groups.
Now, these diverse campers are also seem to be gravitating towards private campgrounds as opposed to maybe state or MPS campgrounds. Why do you think that is? I mean, why do you think that KOA might be particularly well positioned to welcome these new campers?
Well, I think to your question on why is that happening, my sense of that is that a lot of people coming into this that are of different ethnic groups, this is the first time that they've done that, or maybe their family has been exposed to that. So coming to a private campground where there is a campground host, there's an owner and manager on site, there's already things to do, there's a store if they forget anything, it provides a nice way to camp without just going backwards and having to be responsible for everything, of which maybe you didn't camp as a child, maybe you weren't in a scout group, maybe your parents didn't take you camping. So you don't know what you don't know. And private campgrounds are a great way to get a start because there's always somebody there to help if you need that.
You're talking about this as hosting, right? Like a guest experience as opposed to that sort of you're on your own, go out and have that really great outdoorsy experience, which, you know, anything goes wrong and you might not turn and see this really friendly campground manager there to help you get your water heater started.
Right. There's always someone that can help when you're at one of our campgrounds.
And easily identifiable in the world of
KOA. Yep, in the bright yellow.
Here I am.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk tent camping. You know, we're RVers, but it seems like tent camping is evolving a little bit at KOA since we've started getting into this. How are your tent sites changing, and how are your tent campers themselves changing?
Yeah, I mean, when you look through the report, you'll see that the majority of North Americans that camp are tenters. There's a lot of people that are RVing, a lot of people trying cabins, but majority of people are camping in tents. KOA's been predominantly an RV business for our 56 years of operation, but we are putting a lot more effort into our tenting. So we've got what we call premium tent sites. And in order to be designated as a premium tent site, you have to have a defined parking space, but you have to have a flat pad surface. So a lot of times there are lots of different materials, but it's a very flat level place for the tent. And also you have to have electricity. We know that that's important, and there has to be a light, it has to be a way for people to get electricity at the site. that's the bare bones of our premium tent site experience, but so many campgrounds are taking it to a new level. We've got people putting in patio tent sites. We've got people putting in covered a variety of different coverings over, so they're protected from the elements. We've got charging stations being built in. And I think tenting for some campgrounds, it's a very, very important part of their business, and we continue to try to come up with new innovative ways to foster that.
I think tenters tend to really love those communal kitchens too, and I've seen those popping up at, you know, campgrounds where they have a nice kitchen area that they can prepare food at, or also like a dishwashing, you know, a really nice dishwashing
yeah.
station. Those things really make the tenting experience much more comfortable.
Yeah, the camper kitchens, that's actually a pretty old staple of KOA. There's you go to a lot of the older parks that, you know, popped up 50 years ago, you'll see those camping kitchens. And a lot of that was driven by tenting, but also our rustic cabins, our camping cabins. So providing people a way to get a sink, as you said, or a place to cook. And it becomes a very communal place for people to gather. And then some campgrounds, for example, are putting wash stations for dishes on the backsides of bathhouses and such, so that the tenters can have access to that as well.
Taking the best of some of those state and national parks that everybody loves, but combining it with just a little more comfort, a little more luxury.
Right.
Let's
right.
talk more
Absolutely.
About bathrooms, okay?
Sure.
So RVers and tenters, everybody really, really cares about clean bathrooms. Now, you mentioned mm-hmm. older campgrounds, and some KOAs have been around for 50 years or 60 years. RVers care so much about nice bathrooms. Do you guys have a hard time convincing your owners to reinvest in building new bathhouses and new showers? Like, if I'm a campground owner, I want to put in a new pool or I want to put in new recreation. It's not exciting to me to put in a new bathroom, but it seems like people really care about them.
And, you know, on our Campground of the Week, Toby, our other podcast that we have people review campgrounds, they're one of the most reoccurring nobody's perfect points that people bring up is, well, we loved everything about this campground, but the bathroom was a little outdated. Mm-hmm. It didn't have a shelf or a hook for me to hang my things. So, you know, it seems like maybe the message is getting communicated.
An Olympic-sized pool next to a, you know, 30-year-old bathroom. So is that a challenge for you guys with your franchisees?
You know, not particularly. We have a lot of pride in our facilities. And those that invest in their bathrooms, they're very proud of their bathrooms. And that's reflected. We actually did a segment at our national convention last year where we were showcasing some of the bathroom upgrades. And it just gets people's interest piqued in, oh, I could do that to my bathroom here. You know, and it, to your point, it could be simple things such as hooks and lighting, individual mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, we're seeing just some beautiful bathroom upgrades happening. And we're seeing just a lot of upgrades in general happening across our campgrounds. And I think it's almost a little bit of healthy competition going on. We're making a concerted effort to showcase what people are doing on their campgrounds, and that gives ideas to their peers, and then they're investing in their campgrounds. And bathrooms are definitely one key area that we put a lot of emphasis on.
It's like your own private KOA Pinterest board showing what everybody's
doing.
We
do. We do, actually. We do use Pinterest a bit, but we use Facebook. We have a private Facebook group for our owners and managers. And on any given day, there's 3 to 5 pictures that owners are sharing of something they've just completed or a project they're in the middle of. And that's a great way that we foster them sharing things with each other. So social media is actually a big part of how we do that.
So what you're really saying is that your campground owners are very competitive with each other. That's
well,
what I'm hearing.
It's a friendly, I think it's not a I'm going to steal your camper competition, but it's a friendly competition of, oh, I'm going to make my site just as good as your site. We're seeing a little bit of that. There's a lot of pride in our campgrounds.
Yeah.
We have a lot of meetings where, call them 20 groups, where groups come together and they tour each other's parks and they get ideas from each other and then they go try to make it a little bit better on their own park. So it's just a very fun, you know, family-oriented environment of let's all make each other better because we represent the brand better.
And that's just to the point of how wonderful social media can be, because we talked about how hard campground owners work, and it is a very difficult job, and it's very time-consuming, and it would be easy to just get lost in the management of your campground and not necessarily back up and look at the big picture. But if social media can help them see and inspire them, you know, to see what other campgrounds are doing, I'm sure that that's actually, you know, perpetuating
yeah,
a lot
your,
of these
your
upgrades.
Convention has to play a big role in that too,
mm-hmm.
right? And bringing everybody together, and everybody can kind of take a deep breath and share their best practices with one another.
Right. We've got a few things. In the spring and the fall, our owners associations in each state and region are meeting. So they're doing a lot of sharing, and those usually happen at campgrounds. They can see what each other is doing. We've got 20 groups, as I mentioned, going on across the country in the spring and fall as well. And then convention, everyone comes together, and we rotate around the country to different places. And last year, we had a big focus on campground modernization. We talked about upgrades to RV sites and in patio, particularly with adding patios and focusing on the outdoor experience of the RV site, to deluxe cabins, to bathrooms and recreation. And it's a great place for us to dig deep in workshops about how you can make your park even better.
All right. Well, speaking of making parks better, let's talk recreation. This is definitely a push in the campground industry to have those self-guided recreational activities available at campgrounds. What kinds of developments have you seen in the area of recreation, and specifically KOAs?
Several things. So we think that, as you see in the report, people want on-site recreation, you know, particularly families that are camping. But we also pay attention to what would be good recreation for empty nesters and adults traveling without children. So there's a variety of things, from passive, self-guided, so things such as jumping pillows are very popular at KOAs, as you've seen as you've traveled, and things like basketball and swimming pools. But other things, we're seeing a lot of campgrounds kind of taking the traditional mini golf to the next level. And we've got some really interesting mini golfs going in across the system. We've also seen things, you know, a little more going to the other end of the spectrum. Campgrounds are starting to invest in zip lines, and they're putting in climbing walls. They're putting in experimenting with water slides, some of those big giant water slides that we've got, to actually just installed ones that go into their pools. So there's a lot of things people are playing with. We're trying to keep in front of trends happening in recreation. So we're looking here at the home office. We're trying to look, you know, across to Europe, into Australia, what are they doing? We're trying to pay attention to what cruise ships are doing, to what, you know, other travel-oriented companies are doing in recreation, so that we could see what could be adapted for the campground industry.
And just listening to what you said there, you know, one thing I love about KOA and the way you guys do things is you're not just making campgrounds for kids. You're not just making campgrounds for seniors. You're trying to meet everybody. And I think of, you know, we've spent a lot of time at like the Myrtle Beach KOA, and there's lots of activities there for seniors that Stephanie and I and our kids would not participate in. But then at the same time, there's something going on the other side of the campground for the kids. So, you know, kudos to you guys for trying to provide recreation for everybody across all age groups.
Yeah, and it definitely depends on the campground. Some of our southern properties, I would point to, let's say, Okeechobee, Florida, or Tucson, Arizona, are large snowbird parks. So you're going to see a lot more activities oriented towards older generations. But we know that a lot of families are camping there in the off season, and we also know that a lot of people are coming to visit grandma and grandpa while they're camping. So we try to weave in things for the kids to do as well.
Great. Now, Toby, we have three young boys, and to be frank with you, I'm kind of frightened about them becoming teenagers, but the North American...
It's going to happen.
The North American Camping Report has given me hope. So what were some of the interesting discoveries about teenagers that might lead us to think they're not as bad as their reputation might suggest?
No, I was really excited. For the first time, we interviewed Gen Z, so that's the teenage generation behind millennials. There's a lot of focus on the millennials, but we thought it would be good to talk about what's coming behind them. And I was so encouraged by what I saw. Really strong enthusiasm for camping. Pretty much everybody, you know, said they enjoy it. They like to spend time with their families. I think that's probably a surprise to people. The biggest takeaway is, even if we asked them, if you could not have access to technology, would you want to camp? And, you know, the majority said absolutely. I think that just like adults, you know, teenagers are connected all the time. They're busy. And taking that disconnection time, even if it's, you know, I don't think anyone truly disconnects completely, but just a little bit of downtime getting outside, they respond well to that. We ask people even verbatims, you know, what do you like best about camping? And my favorite one was, I like to camp because my dad relaxes. And I think that just illustrates that they want to spend time with their families, and they want to have quality time together. So I'm really optimistic about what we're seeing out of the teenage generations wanting to keep camp now and keep camping as adults.
So they won't tell their parents those things, but they'll tell the North American Camping Report.
They would tell an independent researcher.
Well, you know, and also I think that sometimes our kids may push against new experiences. They may be uncomfortable with the concept, but when we show them what it is and we do it with them, it very quickly clicks. We have so many listeners that say, oh, my tween or my teen was so against camping last year. They really pushed against using our new RV. And this year they're like, where are we going? What are we doing? And they're excited. And we just kind of have to, you know, show them what it really is.
Yeah, people like to be outside, but that's going back to the activities. We're seeing lots of interest in more active recreation, so hiking and kayaking, biking are spiking in the research. So people, and I think that's being driven by these younger generations that, you know, gives them a way to get outside and do these things.
Yeah, our boys are making us fish.
Right. They want to fish. So there's just lots of ways. I think, you know, you're entertaining them, giving them something to do. And they respond well to that.
That was Toby O'Rourke, the Chief Franchise Operations Officer from KOA. Toby, thank you so much for coming on the show. And more importantly, thank you for everything you guys do to push this whole industry forward into the future. We sure do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Toby.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 137 of RVFTA, Meet the 2017 North American Camper. And a big thank you to Toby O'Rourke from KOA for giving us her time and coming on the show and diving into some of the details from that report. And also a big thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, to Cabela's, and to Highway West Vacations. And thank you to you, Stephanie. Why not?
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Jeremy.
And thank you to
for being a camper, a North American camper.
Thank you to all the North American campers and to all the people that participated in this study. I love it.
If you want to see the study in all of its 54 pages of PDF glory, we will link to it in our show notes at rvfamilytravelatlas.com if you like little graphs and pictures.
Look, get yourself a cup of coffee. Print up the camping report. Print it up.
Or just go camping. All right. We'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.